Can I make one more announcement?
Sure.
So the youth group dinner sign-up sheet, we
now with Zoom, all the world knows your phone number. Which is A-okay. You can get it on the internet anyway, most information. Welcome. I don't know you folks. Glad you're here. Welcome. So we have had these books for 2 years now. It's called The Journey to the Cross. These are the days before Easter. And Paul Tripp writes a devotion each day. It's a little more extended, but I will just tell you, if you have the book and you want some added enrichment from the scriptures, it's a great tool to do that. And we might have a copy or two still around if you'd like to do that. But I just want to encourage you, if you read this last year or the year before, to bring it out and begin to go through it again. A couple of our families have actually read it together over the telephone or gathered together and just read it and had this time of devotion together with their kids. And so something like that it's a great tool. I wanted to, first of all, thank you for setting your clock ahead. I'm glad that you're here this morning. Some people will be surprised about now when they check their clock and they realize, oh man, we missed church. But I'm glad that you're here today. I wanted to personally thank you for your prayer and encouragement. This last week, Wednesday through Friday, was what is called the Shepherd's Conference. And it is a conference that's gone on for 30 plus years down at Grace Community Church, where there is a gathering. This week, there was a gathering of just about 4,000 pastors from all over the world. And so I literally had meals with people from Missouri, Mexico, saw people who were from Russia and Ukraine and other places around the world. Pastors gathered to be enriched and encouraged, to be taught. I actually came away and I said to some, I feel like I've been through heart surgery and I need some time of healing. You know, you hear the word and it is comforting, but it also works you over because you realize where you're not hitting the mark or you need to do understand more and walk closer with Christ. And it was truly a rich time. There are a number of pastors from our county that were there with maybe 4, 5, 6, 8 men. Phil Layton from Gold Country Baptist Church was there. Pastor Paul Anthes from Gold Hill was there, and I had a chance to see him. Many pastors from the Sacramento and Rockland and Roseville area. Had a great talk with some guys from Bishop, California. I mean, it just kind of went on and on and on. And but what a rich time. They also feed us really well, which is a nice thing. But really, more than that, you know, it's good for pastors to be challenged and to kind of recenter the focus of where we're going as a church. It's a very biblical conference. It's interesting, you know, when you gather pastors, you think, well, they're the ones that preach. But what they did was they preached to us over and over and over again. And maybe some of you guys have heard the name Vody Bochum. And if you haven't, he's on YouTube and other places. He is just a powerful pastor and teacher. Actually is, I think, the chancellor of a seminary in Africa as well. But anyway, I actually wanted to show you some slides and some just pictures of what was going on. By the way, when you hear 3,500 or 4,000 men singing songs like A Mighty Fortress Is Our God or other great hymns of the faith, it was just so deeply moving. The topic of the song and the sound of harmonious voices singing praise to God was a blessing. So I just wanted to mention that to you. As we jump into, the first scripture we're going to read is from 2 Peter chapter 3. And so I'd like you to take your Bible and open there. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I just want us to consider in the beginning of this message the times we live in. When I was in junior high school, Gideons came to our school. And you know what Gideons do? They hand out Bibles. And I remember standing there as the Gideons were handing out Bibles, and they handed one young man a Bible, and he looked at the Gideon defiantly, walked over to a trash can, ripped the Bible up and threw it away, and walked away. And you know, people were antagonistic to the gospel then, and they're even more antagonistic to the gospel now. So before we read, I want to make these comments. In these times, in 2022, it is a time of unbelief. And you'll see some of these words up here on the screen. Unbelief, it's the rejection of God, the rejection of His Word. It is the rejection of sin. People won't even agree that they're sinners. And it's the rejection of redemption. This is witnessed by rampant immorality, death of the innocent and the infirm and the impaired, the disregard for marriage and any righteous standard. You just have this unbelief in our society. In these times, it's also a time of wars, as in Ukraine and at least 9 other fronts where nations are vying. And isn't this true? Nations are vying for power and land and resources and control, and they leave in their wake death and destruction and devastation. As I watch the news reports, and now with the news and YouTube and all of the different things that you can go to see what's happening in Ukraine, my heart just goes out to the people of that nation and the nations around there. I even have a heart for the Russian people as they are carrying out the will of their leader. But these are times of wars, and people are dying and devastated in the destruction. And it's a time of idolatry. You know, you think, well, what is idolatry? Well, it's witnessed in extreme self-serving pursuits. People are just about everything for themselves. Bents for temporal gain. That's as opposed to eternal gain. Widespread competition over what is truth. Man, I guess maybe it's because of where we are in history and where I am in life, that you just see people who believe their thoughts are greater than God's thoughts. And there's this competition for truth. You know, I believe what I believe. And I often want to say to people, what do you base what you believe on? What is the foundation? And you know what? Today, people don't even have to have a foundation. They just believe it because they believe it and they want to believe it, and it feeds their narcissism and it feeds their self-centeredness. They just believe those kind of things. Mankind proclaiming themselves as wiser and more knowledgeable than God, rejecting truth and the truth of God completely. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes these words, and they will be on the screen, but if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to look at your Bible. It's harder to see on the screen, maybe impossible. But I'm going to read these words. I would invite you to think about these words in light of our times. It says this. Peter says, "This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets." Can you think back to the Old Testament prophets, the holy prophets who said, if you don't follow God, you will be judged? Predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Peter is saying, I'm stirring you up to remember these things. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Can we see that today? They will say, where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. Let me just say that Peter is establishing God in his all-powerful, his sovereign ability to speak the world into existence. This is Peter saying, remember what God did when he made the world. Verse 6, and that by means of water, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. What is that referring to? The flood. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire. And what is God saying there? That there is a future what? There's a future judgment of all of this earth, these people, this planet. There is a judgment coming, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all of these things are thus to be dissolved, and this is the line that I'd like you to grasp for today. And I know Sophie's talking there, and just do your best to listen and love her while we read the scripture, okay? Yeah, I know. It's beautiful. Amen. Here's the word that I want to say to you. With all these things that are happening, Peter says this. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? In the midst of all this, what sort of people are we to be? You could probably answer it. You probably could all tell a sermon right now. The kind of people that God is calling us. He's calling us to lives of holiness and lives of godliness. Waiting for and hastening for the coming of the day of God. Christ will return and we will be with him for eternity. Because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved. And the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these things, be, and look at that next word, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. I'm just going to stop there. So we have these scriptures, and God is calling us to consider what kind of people we are to be. So at the end of this passage, the next slide, I just wrote, preparing to be God's people in these times. And that's what we're going to focus on. So in our preparation, this is going to just be very practical right now. I'm going to announce what's happening starting next Sunday. Since March of 2020, the world and the church has been turned upside down. I'm glad, you know, we decided from day one that that I would preach. And so we've been on Zoom since day one. So March 7th was our last Sunday, and March 14th, between Mike and the people that could help, we were on Zoom preaching. But those first 4 or 5 weeks, we didn't have church. The Miser kids came, and they were sitting out here, and there was like one chair here and the microphone, and we did that. But we lost our continuity of Sunday school and other Bible studies. People were hidden away. We're at a point now where we're ready to start again. And I want to tell you that our Sunday school teachers and the team have been meeting and are going to meet today. And I'm going to show you on this little schedule how it's going to happen. So just please set your alarm. Put this in your calendar. Next Sunday, church starts at a different time. Okay? So I'm telling you, people on Zoom, people that are here, it's going to start at a different time. We're not going to start at 8:30 for Sunday school. Everything's going to start at 9 o'clock. And so we're going to gather at 9 o'clock for 9 to 9:45 will be our Sunday school hour. Good morning, Tim. Good to see you. And then we'll have a little break for transition time, and then the worship service will start at 10 o'clock. I'm just going to run through this because I want you to see it. The first line here says from 8:45 to 9:45, our people decided we need to have a fellowship time. Okay? So I really don't want everybody to go to this fellowship time at the same time. But at 8:45, people have already started making muffins and making cookies and having something for you to snack on when you first get here in the morning. There'll be coffee and tea and so on. 8:45, that's going to start. And then at 9 o'clock, the Sunday school hour will start. Now, we've realized, too, that some people have been isolated. And sometimes you come to church and you just need to talk to someone or network with someone. And so all during the Sunday school hour, the fellowship hall is going to be available if you just want to sit and talk. So that might be your small group. You might meet in the fellowship hall with friends that you can talk with and pray with. Maybe you need that time. Okay? From 9 to 9:45, we're going to be, we just called it in John, it talks about growing in grace and truth. So we just kind of put that on our Sunday school time. Growing in grace and truth. That's our Sunday school time. And then when that's done at about 9:45, and so all you people that are teachers, try to wind up around 9:45 so we can get into church around 10 o'clock. There'll be time for you to get a cup of coffee at that time as well. Then we'll do this kind of as we always do. 10 to 10:30 is going to kind of be our music worship time. And then at 10:30, we'll dismiss our kids for children's church. And by the way, children's church has a brand new curriculum and a brand new just enthusiastic drive behind it. And so at this point, the kids are going to be meeting in different places, and they're going to have this really cool curriculum that gets them into the Word and is fun. And so that's going to be happening, and that's what the teaching team is going to be talking about right after church. So we'll dismiss kids for children's church, and we'll be here from the 10:30 to 11:15 time, and we'll be having prayer and preaching during that time. So church is going to go from 9 o'clock to about 11:15 or so. My wife said, you know, Jim, if you print this, you have to obey this. Amen. So I'm going to be working on that even this morning. Okay, so the next slide is not only a slide of who's involved, but it's also an opportunity for you to say, hey, I could help in those ministries, okay? So during this time, I just want you to know that our dear friend Nicole Savage has, her work schedule is not allowing her to be here in the nursery. And Linda Henningsen has volunteered to oversee our nursery, but she said she can't do it. She needs help. And so if you would like to serve in helping in the nursery, come and talk to us. We'd love to have you participate in that. So that's going to be happening. This is from 9 to 9:45. All these things are happening. Kate Bila is going to be doing this group called Kid Time, ages 3 through 5th grade, in the first portable building out there. And it is going to be a high-energy singing and teaching time for the kids. We really want you to come with your kids and bring your kids back to Sunday school. It's been a long time, and our kids need to be taught, and our kids need to be here. So that's going to happen. Corey Morrison is continuing the high school Bible study in the second portable building out here, as they've been doing. My wife, Willie June, is going to be continuing to teach the junior high school age kids in the library. Jay Miser is continuing with the purpose-driven life. And Jay, this is the moment. Can you just invite other people to join your class? Where are you at in that? I'm going to hand you a microphone, and here we go.
Absolutely. Come and join us. So the Purpose-Driven Life book by Rick Warren is set up for a 40-day reading. We've done it in, a week at a time, so 40 weeks, and we're probably on a year. But we're looking at another couple months to finish up that book. What we try and do is use the book that we're currently studying as a jumping off point. So we can discuss scripture, we can talk amongst ourselves. It's an interactive class. Yeah.
And where do you meet, Jay?
I guess it's room 2. It's the one that's straight back. If you walk down the hallway, you'll run right into it. Mary Milkey's old Sunday school room. 3?
Yep. So, by the way, Jay doesn't know this yet, but we're trying to facilitate classes in rooms. And since we're starting 2 new classes, there's probably going to be a different assignment of where you teach. So I think we're going to have you in the office area. So if you're interested in joining Jay's class, we're going to be in here. So.
And if I forget that, come and get me, and we'll be in the office area.
Can I say just one more thing?
Sure.
Come and get me. It is an interactive class. You can come in at any time. You don't have to be there every week. There's no homework. We focus on going to the scripture. So we want you to be there. Thanks.
Beautiful. And a second class that is happening, currently happening, Jack Frame is leading, and Jack is, you're in 2 Samuel. Invite us.
And I see that you've changed our room too. So
yep.
My class, I'm Jack Frame. We were meeting in room 2, and I see on there we're going to be meeting in room 3, which is the room right next to the nursery.
That's it.
We'll be back there. Right.
Okay, we'll get you all sorted out.
Do I have that mic?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
So we're in 2 Samuel, which we're studying. Remember when the Israelites left Egypt, the Lord was going to be the king, and they were going to be essentially ruled on the earth with judges, and the Israelites didn't like that. They wanted a king. So be careful what you ask for, and he gave them Saul. So we're now in 2 Samuel. Now we're studying the Israelites' second king, King David. So those of you who are interested, come on down.
Thank you. Flip the little button up. Maybe Mike's going to turn it on for you.
Hello. Okay. So it's about the kings of the Old Testament, pretty much?
It's really the story of God's people. And at this season, they are asking for a king. It's God presenting himself and the people of Israel as the people of God, learning to obey or choosing to disobey. And it's kind of following the narrative of that. And the more you understand the Old Testament, you understand the New Testament. So that is happening. And then last week we heard a little bit from Aaron. And Aaron is right here, and he's going to be teaching a Christian apologetics class. And that, as you can see, is going to be in room 2, which is next to, it's down the hallway here. And Aaron told you a little about that. We'll have more about that in the bulletin for you to look at. And then our brother Dan Meiser is going to be teaching financial principles from Scripture. And that's with a curriculum called Financial Peace University. And that'll be in the boardroom. That way they have a monitor to watch some video instruction on as well. And so all those things are going to be happening. And let me say this, that I know you're in a routine. And I don't want to twist your arm, but I want to give a strong invitation to you to choose to be part of one of these classes. I know we have routines. And actually, I went to this Bible conference, and I came away thinking, Jim, you need to change some of your routines. For me to be the man God wants me to be, for me to be more effective for Christ, I need to be willing to change, willing to look introspectively. I'm asking you to do the same. These Sunday school classes that go from 9 to 9:45 are a time for you to be in the Word, a time for you to be with other Christian people, getting to know each other. And as the body of Christ, we're going to talk about a little more in the sermon today. We need each other. And let me say, in these times, we need to be deeply rooted in God's Word, and we need to be deeply strengthened in our relationships with one another. We're the church here, folks. And I've often said to people, if you choose to come to church here, then you've said, this is where I'm at for this season in my life, and this is where I will plug in. This is our home church. Now, there's a church at large. There's a church all over the world, the people that are following Christ. People go to Green Valley, and people go to Solid Rock, and people go to Cold Springs. People go to Grace Church down in Pleasant Valley. This is my church, not me, Jim Eggert, but this is our church. This is the place where we have gathered to say we want to be part of this body, and we want to make a difference for Christ. Awana reaches out to the school across the street. Those are all our kids in this community, at least a good portion of our kids. On Mondays, we have a group of people here, Living Liberty. That's a group of people that are being reached out to in education and Christian faith. And so here we are, and this is an opportunity for us to be deeper and stronger in our walk with Christ. So that's what's coming up. And I just want you to know, next week, 9 o'clock, we're going to be here. If you want a cup of coffee, maybe come a few minutes early, and we'll start then. So I wanted to tell you that. It's a big announcement, and I want you to know what's coming. Let's jump to the next slide there. Christian faith and ministry are built on steps of faith. And I mentioned some of this last week, but I'd like to mention it again. It's very simple. I'm going to read the first paragraph and talk about it. Steps of faith, for us as believers, are not dependent upon human means or temporal resources. That's why God calls them a step of faith. It's stepping out and not knowing exactly how God is going to provide. It's stepping out and trusting Him to show you the way. And so the examples, like the people at the Red Sea, they came up to the Red Sea, the enemy was behind them. You've come to difficulties and you didn't know where to go, and there was an enemy, so to speak, behind you. And God says, stand and watch the deliverance of what? The deliverance of the Lord. And God opens the Red Sea. It was a step of faith, not only to watch it, but then to walk in between the walls of water. Steps of faith, feeding Israel in the wilderness. The people cried out to God and said, God, we're hungry. For 40 years, God gave manna. For 40 years, God gave quail to the people of Israel. All of those things were showing the sovereignty of God, the provision of God, and it was a step of faith. You know, there was a real step of faith in that manna when they said on a certain night, only gather enough. Well, all the days, only gather enough for the day, right? And then they said, when they got to the Sabbath, you can gather for 2 days, right? But if they gathered more than they needed on the other days, what happened to the extra? It got worms in it. And just this everyday reminder Like Milt has said that old song, God's way is the best way, right? And so that's a great reminder. So, and then there's some other examples. The second paragraph, steps of faith happen as God calls or prompts a believer to step out in faith. God's people trust in their mighty God to supply according to his riches and provision to carry out that mission or direction. And Hudson Taylor, who has a marvelous story you could read on your own, he said these words, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Terrific words. You know what Hudson Taylor did? Does anybody remember what Hudson Taylor did? He was a missionary to China, and he had orphanage work. And he trusted in God to provide every day to feed all those kids. And God did. The third paragraph, steps of faith are acts of obedience as God leads his people to step out to a call or a vision that God has given his people that promotes the gospel, builds his kingdom, furthers God's purpose and plan for his glory, and depending completely upon God for the direction, the provision, and the results. And so I just want to say to us, we are at a place where we're stepping out by faith again. We're revisioning things. We're restarting things. Because I think we're in these times where we need to be stronger. And I'm going to give you three ways I think we can begin to be stronger. So in these times, PBC is re-beginning with three small steps of faith. Here's the three things we want to talk about. That we need to grow in faith. Growing deeper in faith. Growing deeper, stronger, and bolder in our relationship with Christ. That's one goal we have for this Sunday school hour and this children's church and our life groups that are starting back up. Secondly, caring for one another. The Bible talks about one another's, all these scriptures that talk about one another's. And we're going to practice the one another's amongst our body, strengthening the body of Christ. The last thing is equipping the saints, actively being equipped for what God calls on us to do. So I'm going to look at Colossians. So if you want to open your Bible to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, and we're going to talk about this growing deeper for just a couple of minutes. So the idea here is that we grow deeper, stronger, and bolder in Christ. And in this prayer that Paul prays for the church at Colossae, he mentions some very specific things. Let me begin to read with verse 9. It says, "And so from the day we heard," and what Paul heard was about their faith, "we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So there is a call for us. There's an opportunity, there's a call, and there's a responsibility for us to be filled with the knowledge of his will. I believe, maybe it's my own testimony, that in any given day, I really have to surrender almost moment by moment to his will. Because there's a competing will that rises up. You know where that comes from? Me. And so what we want to do, like the scripture says, is be filled with the knowledge of his will. I've mentioned this a couple of times now, but recently the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 has so challenged me. Real simple. Our Father who art in heaven, acknowledging God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You take first place. You be worshiped. That's my call. Father, your will be done. So we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then Jesus said to the disciples, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That the believer's desire is to want God's kingdom to unfold in this planet. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And you know what, you guys? I don't like wars, and I didn't like COVID, and I don't like gas prices, and I don't like suffering and things that are happening in this world. But you know what? God's plan is not thwarted by all of these things. God's kingdom is coming. God's will is being done, and I want to be part of that. I want to agree with that. I want his kingdom to come and his will to be done. And every day there's like this battle, my will or God's will, my surrender, my obedience, or my disobedience. So it says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And isn't God faithful to do that? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As Christ, as you've forgiven me, I will forgive others. You know, there's a lot of pain in people's lives because they don't want to forgive. A lot of pain. And you know what unforgiveness leads to? Bitterness and sickness and sadness and broken relationships. Terrible things. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Protect us, Lord. We need your protection. For thine is the kingdom. It's all about you, God. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And so when we come to this and we want to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 10 says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, being fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let me just say, I just underlined these phrases that spoke so boldly to me. So we as a Christian are in a walk. And we're in that walk 24/7. And it says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. By the way, you need to be convinced that God is God, that he is your Savior and the only Savior of your soul, and that you are committed to his will being done, actually, then you're going to be the most joy-filled and happy person, no matter what the circumstances are. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work. And I just want to camp on this one phrase for a minute of bearing fruit in every good work. Many of you have already, you pruned all your fruit trees, and now you're waiting for buds, right? And the weather actually is too warm, and maybe some of your trees are budding out and blossoming, and we may get more cold weather, and those buds may freeze off. I don't know. But what happens is you prune those trees, you prune those vines, because what are you hoping in the spring? What are you hoping in the summer? That you're going to have a harvest. See, we are the ones who are to bear the fruit. We belong to Christ. We are the ones that are here in this world to be the salt, be the light. And it says in this verse, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work. Again, increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11 says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. And in that verse 11, there is just this steadfastness and this strength and courage and boldness that we see. It says, strengthened with all power. Strengthened for what? Strengthened to walk with Christ, strengthened to bear fruit for Christ, strengthened to do his will and not our own will. So it says, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. And right now, all the things that I've mentioned in these times, you need endurance. And you need what this verse says, patience with joy. Verse 12 says, the response is giving thanks to the Father because he's qualified you to share in the inheritance in the saints in light. He bought you. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Man, we sing songs about, you know, when we all get to heaven, and we sing songs about what's coming in our future. And because he has paid the price for us, we have a future that is amazing. In the meantime, we're here. And we're taking steps of faith, and we're walking by faith, and we're living for Christ, and we are his workmanship. Okay, so growing deeper, and those are some of the things that will happen as we are in Sunday school classes and life groups and in church and with the body of Christ. The second thing, practicing one another's. And I just listed some of these. These are the kinds of things, these are the fruit that should be seen in our lives with one another. And so we need opportunities together to build these qualities. So it says in Mark chapter 9, be at peace with each other, or one another. Wash, let me just read these. They'll speak for themselves. Wash one another's feet. Love one another, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves, live in harmony with one another, stop passing judgment on one another, accept one another, then just as Christ has accepted you, instruct one another. So we have... See, to practice the one another's, we really have to be with one another. You can't practice the one another's if you're isolated. So we're giving opportunities for us to be together. Bible studies, Sunday school classes, life groups, times for us to be together, serving together. People serve in Awana, they serve at food bank, they serve in youth group, they serve in all kinds of different ways. The next slides are just a continuation of these one another's. The Bible says, have equal concern for one another. Serve one another in love. Carry each other's burdens. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, it's interesting to me that it's easy for us when we see each other to talk about all kinds of things other than the Lord. We can talk about our problems. We can talk about our victories. We can talk about our broken things. That takes a lot of time. But speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, I came home from this conference being down in Southern California, and while I was there, I'm reading through the book of Psalms. And I came to a few psalms, and I just wanted to tell Willie June about them. And I haven't taken a minute yet to tell her or to ask her, would you listen to what I'm learning in these psalms? But the Bible tells us, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Why do you think the Apostle Paul told us to do that? What happens? It's good. I hadn't even thought of that word. It is healing. Healing. It heals us. To hear the word, to speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Beautiful. Can heal this relationship and these relationships. softens the heart, encourages us. It does. That's really, I think, the joy of being in life groups, the joy of being in Sunday school groups. We are focused on the Word. And so we're bantering about the Word, and we're talking about the Word, and we're learning from the Word. And it does. It heals, and it softens, and it encourages us. Amen. Amen. It gives us a description of us, and it gives us a description of God, who we belong to. A couple more on this one another's. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. By the way, you know, that is the passage that is just before the husband and wife relationship. But it says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know what we struggle with a lot in life? Is pride. We like to be right. We like to be in control. We like to take the lead. We like our opinion to be the right opinion, right? This verse says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, we don't always have to be right. We can be a better listener. You know, there's a phrase that someone told me years ago, and it says, maybe I heard it here, maybe I heard it from you. It says this: much can be accomplished when it doesn't matter who gets the credit. So we submit to one another. We work as a team. We submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The last one, in humility, consider others better than yourself. That's another one that challenges us, because we often think we're better than them. But Paul's words are, consider one another better than yourself. So we got these two areas. The first is growing deeper. The second is practicing one another's. And the last one that I'd like to talk to is from a number of scriptures, but it's actively being equipped for every good work. I wrote steps of faith to strengthen believers as the church and the body of Christ. And I just want to say that in this equipping, the Word is our textbook. So what we're doing is we're learning the way of God, we're learning the person of God, we're learning the purpose that God has, and we're learning how to do it from Him. And so, again, this is very simple and practical, but in these classes and things that we're doing, these things are going to happen. So I just wrote down grace and truth classes. Colossians 1 is reflected there. The life groups that we have. You know, I'm just a broken record. I just say the same things. But in Acts 2:42, it says, the people of God gathered for fellowship and the apostles' teaching and breaking of bread and prayer. That's what God's people do. When we get together, we have fellowship, and it encourages one another. When we get together, we look at the apostles' teaching, which is the book, and we study it, and we learn to know how God works. We get together for breaking of bread, which is primarily communion and the idea of remembering Christ. We like to say that's where we have potlucks together and we have shared food. There's nothing wrong with that. That fits in the fellowship category and caring for one another. And then we pray. We pray. And people share. And they share what's burdening their heart. And then we pray. So that's what we do. And those things build up Christian people. So life groups. I want you to know that we're going to be actively equipped when our children are going to children's church. I'm very excited about this new curriculum. It's going to be fun and deep, which is a good combination. Deuteronomy 6 tells us we need to be training our children. I put Awana in here, Ruth, because that's an ongoing ministry that goes to equip our kids. Some of those kids, you know, some parents of our kids are not even believers. The kids just come to Awana They learn Bible verses, and they go home and they say, I'm supposed to say these verses to my parents. And so the kids are bringing the word home to their families, equipping the kids. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That's really the theme verse for Awana. Regular worship services to promote worship and the word. 6, service to one another and outreach to the community. We serve one another and we do outreaches to the community. Those things equip us. Outreach to the community to build bridges to share the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go ye therefore into all the world. Corinthians tells us, Romans tells us, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Roland, I don't talk to people as much at the gas station as I should. But once in a while, what I like to do is just think up questions that kind of take people off guard and aren't too threatening. And maybe it depends upon how you approach it and if the people are trying to leave and you're going, wait a minute, can I talk to you? So I try to catch somebody who's like right in the middle of pumping their gas and they have nowhere to go, some time ago, I just thought, well, I'm just going to ask people when they first heard about Jesus. There's really nothing threatening about that. At least I didn't think there was. And so the guy would be pumping gas, and I just said, hey, I'm just asking some people a question. I wondered if you wouldn't mind answering a question for me. Usually people say what?
Sure.
Usually they say sure. And I just say, I was just wondering, when did you first hear about Jesus? I'm not preaching at them. I'm just simply asking them, when did they hear about Jesus? And what I find, at least for us in the United States, is that people have heard about Jesus somewhere. A friend, a mom who's praying for them, a grandma who's praying for them. Maybe they heard it in a cuss word, and maybe that's what they tell you. That's okay. They can say that. When did you first hear about Jesus? And then usually what I would do is take one of those little blue books that I like, this Knowing God Personally, and just say, this is a little book that just tells about Jesus. I'd love to give it to you. Do you mind? Would you take it? Usually, they take it. I don't know who they are. I don't know their name. I don't know anything about them, But it's just opportunities to share and try to do that in a way that can open a door. But this number 7, outreach to the community to build bridges to share the gospel. I tell our people at Food Bank, most recently, I haven't been there as much as I had in the past, but I just tell them, we want to give people a loaf of bread, but more than that, we want them to know the bread of life. We want to help them in their physical need. And by the way, the food bank in El Dorado County often gives us truckloads of food to give away. At the end of the day, after we've given people, seriously, 75 pounds of food, there's more to give away, And it is just amazing. But that's an opportunity for us to care about the people. You should see our people care for these people. Talking to them, reaching out to them, asking them how they're doing. And these days, since COVID started, it used to be in the old days, everybody in the community who needed food would come to the church and they'd just mill around. They'd just fellowship and talk and so on. But these days, everybody has to stay in their car. At least that's the way it's developed. And so our people are like honeybees on a flower. And the car drives up, and we've got like 15, I don't know how many had this week, but 15, 1 week, 2 weeks, two times ago, we had 22 volunteers. And everybody has a job. So I've got the bag of groceries, and Tyler's got the milk and cheese, and somebody else has got the eggs, and we just kind of swarm the car. And some of our people particularly just stop and look in the car and ask the people how they're doing, Bill, once in a while, will give them a gospel tract. Hey, I'd like to give you this little tract. And there's just this caring. And I believe we're absolutely building bridges to share the gospel. Building bridges to invite them to church. Building bridges, essentially, to help them come to know Jesus as their Savior. The last one, fellowship and hospitality to enhance relationships and bring encouragement after isolation and heading into challenging times. And that whole idea that building up a fellowship time so people could have a cup of coffee together, eat a muffin together, just hang out together is what we're trying to. So I hope that you'll not only come and eat a muffin, but maybe you'd like to bake some muffins or cookies and bring them on a given Sunday and just come and share those things with us. So if you come someday and there are no muffins, just enjoy the cup of coffee and think, well, next week I could bring the muffins. Okay. So for time's sake, I'm going to just go right past, but Romans 12, 9 through 21 is just this passage of scripture that is a challenge to us. And I'm going to finish up with this. And worship team, if you want to be heading up, you can. In these times, Pioneer Bible Church is beginning with three small steps of faith. We're going to focus on growing deeper in our faith, deeper, stronger, and bolder in our relationship with God and His Word. In these times, we're going to emphasize caring for one another in relationships, practicing the one another's amongst our body. And by the way, you know, we say these one another's, love one another, bear with one another, forgive one another. You know what happens when we don't do those things? The body, that's a good way to describe it. The body gets torn up. The body gets divided. And the body gets splintered. And bitterness. And you know, what I find is when people are at odds with each other, people just stop coming to church. They don't want to face it. They don't want to say, I was wrong, or I was angry, or I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that. Instead of taking ownership for their wrong, they just stop coming. That breaks my heart. Keep short accounts. Love one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Be patient with one another. That's what we're called to. And then the last thing is equipping the saints. And that happens through all of these things that we regularly do in church. Bible studies, life groups, Awana, Sunday school classes, worship times. So here we are. We're the body of Christ in these times. And I'm honored to be with you. I'm honored that we are the team. God is calling us up to these things. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad we're going to go forward together. Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Father, thank you for the privilege of your word. Thank you, Lord, that he who hath begun a good work in us will continue it until the day of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that there is a day of Christ coming and a future that you have prepared for us. Lord, I pray for the Sunday school teachers who will be preparing for next week's Sunday school classes. And I pray for our whole church family, you that are listening to me. I pray for all of us that we might be willing to change our schedules a little. Come to church next week before 9 o'clock, get a cup of coffee, and go into a Sunday school class and take the bold step of meeting people, talking with people, growing with people, letting people pray for us. Lord, we need you. We thank you that we can worship you. Thank you that you have saved us and redeemed us and called us and gifted us. And we're part of your plan for your kingdom to come and your kingdom to be more complete. We love you, and we're committed to this work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's stand. Be led.
Wow, everyone's standing. Thank you. There's four verses, but we're just going to sing the first two. But this song is talking about, once again, we don't deserve it, the blood of Jesus. And it talks about, on the chorus, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. And it talks about in Isaiah, our sins once being scarlet, but now they're white as snow. And that's kind of what that's referring to. And it's pretty awesome, you know? So is God, you know?
One can wash away my sin, none but the blood of Jesus. One can make me whole again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. One precious is the flow that makes me white.
Thank you. What a privilege it is for us to worship you. Thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace that is shown to us. It was shown to us in our salvation, and it's shown to us every day. God, I pray that you would make us, as a church, the most effective we can be. God, I pray as we start next week with these Sunday school classes that you'd prompt our hearts where we could go and participate and how we could be here for others, to help them in their journey. Bless the teachers, Lord, as they prepare and are ready. And I pray, Lord, that next week would just be a week of joy as we're in the Word together. Father, there are unspoken prayer requests today, things that are concerns to us. Thank you that you know them and that you care and that you help us. We commit ourselves to walk with you this week. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
boy. Oh. Huh?